And we're back to Speak Up Las Cruces for this next half hour. We'll be talking with Sheriff Kim Stewart, who is, as we were just talking, a former show host here on KTEL with Cleve Hattersley and Cops and Cons, or what was the?
Cops and Cons.
Yeah.
Yes, as I told you before, he carried the show. He made me look good.
Well, so. It was a very interesting show that looked at the whole law enforcement from both perspectives. And you don't get that interaction very often.
And he had some serious interactions.
Yeah,
so it wasn't just a car stop here and there.
No, he lived a life.
Yes.
And he's not done. So I'm not going to bury him.
Oh, no. No, he keeps hitting me up with ideas. So I think something's coming.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Okay.
So you have just completed a listening session throughout the county, and first I want to commend you for that. I think it's all elected officials need to get out more and hear from their constituents. What did you hear? Was there any one unifying theme, or was it kind of different from place to place? How would you summarize it?
Very different from place to place, and in a way not surprising, given that I think we want to lump all unincorporated areas into one mindset.
Yeah.
They're not. But there were some different important thoughts, I thought, myself. And bear in mind, I really didn't go out to defend anything or answer questions. Rarely do electeds go out and not ask for something.
Right. Mm.
And all I asked for was your input. And so sometimes there was a little bit of questioning that we reframed into statements. So, and I think once that happened, it actually encouraged some dialogue. One of the things, we need a public information officer, the sheriff's department. Sure. Mm-hmm. They need their own. That was taken from me the first month I was in office, and I tried to maintain that myself during my first term. That is a challenge.
Well,
people wanted to know more firsthand what was going on, our statistics of this and that, and I understand that. The challenge is we don't have that focus on our particular mission, so the PIO for the county focuses on the entire county. So,
and all your press releases go out through him?
Yes,
or her,
unless I release directly. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, especially on important matters like officer-involved shootings, I release directly.
Yeah.
So that was, I thought, a very good comment to be made. We tend, when we ask these questions, to create job work for other entities, other governmental agencies. So when I was down south, so a lot of the comments were things I couldn't do anything about.
Mm-hmm.
So speed bumps, street lights, more traffic enforcement on state roads.
Dogs,
trash. And
I'd say none of that surprises me.
You know that, right? I've said it a million
yeah.
times. They kind of change from one to three, depending on who it is. But the reality is that we're going to make our report available to those entities. And I apologize in advance if we made work for them. So I would say South County was primarily about other agencies.
Mm-hmm.
Even in Chaparral, you have to realize a lot of that law enforcement is provided by Otero County.
Mm-hmm.
So we have Otero, us, and the state down there. And it's kind of hard to make absolutes. Like, why don't you do traffic enforcement on 404, for example? Right?
Yeah.
The main road into Chaparral from us. So I say that because I certainly get it, but some of it is beyond the role of the sheriff. I will say going north was remarkable. I had no idea that services for fire and police had been decimated in Hatch.
No, I hadn't either.
No idea. And I was shocked.
Do they have their own municipal departments?
Yes.
Okay.
Although their police are down to three people.
Wow.
That is an impossibility. And I had to go to a community meeting to learn that.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, oh, by the way, everything in Placitas is great, but over here in Hatch, it isn't. And part of it came up was because of fire service. Fire service is coming from Rincon, provided by us.
Oh, my goodness.
I had no idea. Mm-hmm. So
have they ever had their own fire?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
And it just...
Have no idea.
Okay.
I don't even want to get into what the politics of it are.
Right.
I just know that the day after that, we started supplementing our District 1 units, and then we reached out through to state police to also assist. So now we're going to be really, for the foreseeable future, providing a lot of enforcement up there. Those people deserve a first response. There's no ifs, ands, or buts.
Right.
And that should, I'm sorry, that should never have happened, that there was this lack of communication.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not blaming anyone. I'm just saying that, thank goodness I went to
that's
lunch
what
in Placitas.
That's why you do things like this.
Yeah. Right.
I would never have known this.
Yeah.
So, and then I think lastly, there is a ripple of concern, of course, and I say that not to dismiss it, about ICE and about things happening in our community. How are we going to respond? Will we respond? So those are valid concerns, but I shouldn't say but, and they're on such a massive scale that it's hard for small town Doñana, whether you're the city or the sheriff, to even wrap your head around how might we proceed if.
Yeah, right, yeah.
It's enormous. So, and it's if. It truly is if. You know, I hope there's a collective coming to senses where some of this changes, but I'm unsure of that.
I know that your department has, you know, had a longstanding policy not to accept the money that was available for, you know, agencies along the border and to not assist with immigration enforcement. I guess my question is, where do you see the line there, that people are saying that that's part of the problem, that, you know, you've got a criminal and he's due to be released and they just send him out on the street? How should local, ideally in a perfect world, how would local law enforcement be working with your federal partners?
Well, first of all, we do work with our federal partners. I know a year ago some local politicians became very angry with me because I would not sign on to a common statement that we will not work with federal partners. Well, first of all, you have to ask me to what extent we do. We do. We work with DEA. We work with FBI. We work with HSI, various lettered agencies. And we always have. We've always worked with Border Patrol. But we're working in cooperation, not doing their job.
Right.
There's a very big difference in that. And then you have to ask, to what extent? So our contact with HSI might be a one-off. It might be they're serving a warrant, and they would just like us to block a street. Well, is that working with them? Yes, it is.
Yeah.
But there were people in our community, and I'll just say it outright, in the elected world, that was like, they didn't want to hear this. That has always been. However, what you bring up is very true. I don't cross commission to do federal immigration. That's called 287G under the federal statute. I object. I will never agree to that. We did not take Stone Garden.
Right. That's the one I was trying to say.
I think a candidate recently came out and said that he would take Stone Garden again. I'm sorry. That is a license to hunt undocumented.
Mm-hmm.
What else is that?
Yeah.
It's also a tough sell when you're trying to meet your standards and then you want your deputies to go out on overtime. Well,
yeah.
You got to consider that, too. So how much are we giving under your taxpayer money to us, to these other entities and the other obligations that aren't ours? So I feel very strongly about that. And I'll just say, we need to keep good relationship with our communities. And we don't do that by straying outside of our lanes. We just don't. And I think that's the biggest problem for us, as I said before, for small town cops like me to deal with, because I know there's fear. I have a daughter who is Asian born and travels on a U.S. passport and says born in China. And I told her a year ago, quit leaving the country for a while. I'm worried you won't get back.
Yeah.
So I get it, too. But the point being, in our world, we have to keep reassuring the public.
Yeah. So with that in mind, if I could ask you a direct question around cooperating, you know, I'll say in air quotes.
Yes.
with ICE or Border Patrol. And so if, let's say, right, people on the ground are wanting to care for and have concern for their neighbors, and they show up in protest against, you know, ICE, who's trying to detain or obtain a person, and they call on the sheriff's department to say, we need support because we know protesters are going to come out, and can you, like, sort of take care of your people or whatever? You know what I mean? Like, take care of the protest part. What would your response be?
Well, my response is the same as it is right now. For instance, there was No King's Day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, that is in the city, but we offer our assistance to the city of Las Cruces police to keep the peace. So what is our obligation? Keep the peace. Now, I avoid getting into the what if it became the scenario, you know, tragic scenario.
Sure.
In the Midwest. That is unimaginable. And I'll tell you right now, I'm not that gifted to be able to foresee how that might work. I do believe some of that has to be hammered out a little bit by these local agencies.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, that was a comment made just this other night on the community forum was, how do you all work together? Well, we don't.
Yeah.
Not because we don't, please understand, it's not because we don't like each other. You have Sunland Park, who mm-hmm. is in transition to new management. You have Hatch, who has nothing. Do you see? We're all at different levels. And so when you say, well, how do you all work together? It isn't because we don't like each other. It's because we're at such different places
yeah.
that it's hard to come together to format or create these kind of collective responses.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I guess the follow up to that is then what can be done? I mean, and that's sort of what I had said earlier in the, you know, first segment was like, we should be, right? Like we should be sort of planning and thinking about the what ifs. And I understand that there's lots of is unpredictable. So then how can there be a more coordinated, you know, collective response? How can these agencies work together? I understand there's difficulty and,
yeah,
right, if there's this inevitable, like, we'll have to, then, you know,
can't
we do it?
I'm sorry to interrupt.
No,
I do think some of that would be, I don't think we can underestimate there would be a difference of opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of this area, right, of Hatch, which is a very different kind of situation than Mesquite, for example, right? So I think that it's going to take a lot more leadership in this county,
okay,
really, than I've even displayed, I believe, and even the chief has displayed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he has some concerns right now statewide, and I understand those concerns, but they tend to be siloed concerns, mm-hmm. if you know what I mean. And do you know that speaks to how organizations here function?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We are the most siloed
Absolutely.
Group on the planet.
Yeah.
So I'm going to turn that back to you, Daisy, and say, how do you do it?
Yeah.
Because it is almost a culture of siloing here.
Yeah. Well, okay, so then my advice was...
See?
Well, we definitely need a person, right?
Yes.
I think,
yes.
You know, if all the agencies could dedicate some funding for a person to help coordinate that and have some, you know, regularly scheduled meetings where we're coming together. And again, knowing, right?
Yes.
Coalition building is very difficult. Knowing we're all going to yeah. have differences of opinion, but at a minimum, coming together and agreeing that we're going to try and get to a place where we can sort of all agree. We're going to, mm-hmm. you know, even if it's stuff that, you know, we're not or unhappy with, but we can walk away from the table, you know, with something, you know, that's how we sort of want to be working together.
Even if it was just previously discussed, it's valuable.
Yeah.
Now, we do have the Office of Emergency Management. I don't want to discount them, but I will tell you their purview is pretty limited. Yeah. But in a lot of ways, especially with the flooding in Hatch, mm-hmm. I will tell you that I believe the director took a very active stance down there and did what she could down there. So I only bring that up because that's the push-pull of the whole scenario is mm-hmm. in this particular county, and I've traveled all over the U.S. working at a national organization in law enforcement, and boy, some are, you know, tight like a fist,
yeah.
and others are all over the map, and then, you know, I talk to the sheriff in Montana, and they don't even have uniforms. So,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just an amazing, we're an amazing U.S. place, but on the other hand, we're an amazing U.S. place.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
There's been a lot of talk about what should be allowed in a protest. It's kind of amazing for me to hear Republicans say you can no longer bring a gun with you when you go to protest. That's new. From your perspective, and I know there's not one answer, but it's not a one-size-fits-all thing. You're reading the situation as it's happening and making split-second decisions. But where is that line? I mean, I assume that obviously taking cell phone cameras, that's allowable. Whistles, horns, and like I said, I know it's not a one-size-fit-all answer, but how do you make, if you were the commander on the scene, how do you make those decisions as to when to de-escalate and when that you need to show more force?
Well, let me say first that I hope all state and local police are better trained at de-escalation.
Mm.
What you're looking at is a mob that,
yes.
I'll be stoned when I leave here, but a mob that is not trained, that has been poorly mm-hmm. given poor direction, lack of supervision at the ground level. They're waiting for somebody in the White House to direct them. That is idiotic. So I bring up the fact that most law enforcement that I've ever known would have de-escalated that the minute the first tragedy went down.
Sure.
Actually, they probably wouldn't have even been there.
The tragedy wouldn't have happened.
Exactly. So, you know, what you're bringing up, I think, is very much a consequence of poor training, poor management. Now, you're dealing with something that I'm frankly, I mean, I've been around this business a while, never seen. And by the way, when it first started, why didn't they just leave? There are plenty of cities to go enforce. Why would they have remained? Why are they still here today? Because de-escalation starts with removing your presence.
Sure.
We're not giving up anything. We're doing the smart thing. We're being smart.
You can still conduct enforcement.
Yeah, of course.
You just don't need mobs grabbing old people out of their homes in the middle of the night.
And then I have to ask, you know, you're armed up remarkably. Mm-hmm. I've never seen such arming for ICE, who has historically been a corrections officer. They manage corrections facility. Mm-hmm. They had ERO, which was essentially like their SWAT team. Who are these people?
They're the Proud Boys.
They're contractors.
Yeah.
A lot are contractors. And people get mad at me for saying that, but I know some people have gone back to work, and I will tell you they are contractors.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not skirting your question, but what I'm saying is you're looking at what is happening now that in local and state law enforcement, I can say with most certainty would have never gotten to that point. I really firmly believe that.
Okay. So I'm curious then too. I mean, because of everything that's happened right around the country, people are protesting. And we saw that just last week in front of the federal building.
Yes.
Right. And then there will be protests coming in the coming weeks. And so, again, I guess your question, but more poignantly, so people show up with whistles and, mm-hmm. you know, and if they show up with, if they show up with guns, you know,
well,
is that...
Here, the difference is, if you're keeping a concealed weapon and you're not brandishing it and you're not threatening anyone with it, I would say that's where we have to certainly walk into that scenario with force. But I have to ask, there are plenty of people who work ranches here and carry all the time.
I was going to say, I lived in Wyoming for 4 years, and I still have friends who don't leave the house without a gun.
Right.
They just don't. If
right.
they're going someplace where they can't take it, they'll leave it in the car.
But exactly.
They, when they get dressed in the morning, putting the gun on is part of getting dressed.
That's exactly right. So I would say that it's sort of like if no one knows and you have a legal right to carry concealed, I see no issue with it because they're at the market. They're they're everywhere we are. Mm-hmm. So especially here, go down to, you know, the South End by the ranches and see them in the NTS buying Coke. They're there. So I just say that. I'm at Coca-Cola, too, by the way.
We figured
I'm glad
that.
You made it.
But, it's different when you're brandishing, threatening, and doing things where we must intervene. And let me make it clear. I was at the No Kings protest. So I didn't have a whistle. I did have
I
a sign. I have my own opinions, and I think they're fairly strong opinions. And as I get closer to the end of my term, they're getting louder. And because I'm not running for anything.
Mm-hmm.
But the point being that I saw nothing at that day, and we had a sizable turnout for that. And nothing was out of the ordinary. People remained out of the street. They were safe. Nobody was pushing anybody. It's that kind of thing.
Yeah. Okay.
This is an unfair question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. One of the things that has just absolutely infuriated me about this whole situation is Christy Noem. She is so unserious, coming out there in her 20-gallon cowboy hat, and it's a different costume every time, and she looks like she ought to be, you know, either modeling or in a daytime show, something. As one of the top law enforcement agencies, officials in our nation, and I'm as a woman who has spent your life dealing with the sexism and everything else that goes along with being, it's not, and I'm sure it still exists, but I'm also sure that it was much worse 20 years ago than it is now. Is that infuriating? I mean, it just seems like she is setting back that cause
just
every time she comes out in front of the camera.
Yeah. Just slightly. She is, first of all, let me preface this to say I knew the prior DHS secretary. We weren't on first name basis. Well, no, he would call me by my first name. He was such an honorable, professional man. He ran 22 departments in DHS. Christy does, too, by the way.
She does.
And where are they? Who's running them? So I bring it up because I've seen such a difference of not only gender and personality, but just perspective. So she's infuriating to me on many levels. Yes, as a woman, I can tell you some of my old colleagues and I look at her with utter disdain.
I would think.
She has made us a joke. And I think some of the heat I even get now, to be honest, is a spinoff of looking at that cartoon character.
Yeah.
I truly believe that.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We get lumped together. I don't know how that happens.
Well, that's not fair.
Anyway.
We're in our last few minutes. Peter wanted me to ask you about a situation happened at the county commission where there was a gentleman, and I wasn't there, so I'm not going to describe his actions in any way, but I do know that he was removed from the proceedings and I believe arrested. Peter, who was there, believed that that was a violation of his rights to attend the meeting and speak out. I know it's an individual case, and there's not a whole lot you could say about an individual case, but what can you say about
that
situation?
I do know that I was presented with a letter from the county indicating he was trespassed. So look at it this way. That could happen with any if you want someone to trespass from your property, whether it's legal or not, we do act on that. So we acted on that. He was also arrested for disorderly conduct. So it wasn't solely the trespass. And there was a little bit of resisting, but I will tell you, it was very minor outside. So that said, as to whether or not the county can trespass is a question for the legal mind that mm-hmm. holds the seat of county attorney. Because we were really just acting as if we were called by any other private company or business. And whether you can trespass someone from a public meeting, I think that is probably Peter's question. And that is well beyond my abilities.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that either. But,
yeah.
But he, like you say, he is a lot more studied in that than either of us are. So
exactly.
We are down to our last few minutes. What haven't we asked you about?
Well, I think the next sheriff, if you were going to ask me things that if yeah. I were a stain,
good question.
They're going to have to seriously consider the use of AI and reporting. Mm-hmm. I think that is an underlooked at issue. I think it's concerning. I think the next sheriff should have a very outward-looking stance nationwide, not just statewide, mm-hmm. To get keep up on best practices, to keep up on what's coming that's not here yet. Mm-hmm. The other thing, real-time crime centers, what are those really? Those are cameras, flock cameras that there's legislation maybe pending mm-hmm. now to outlaw them. I think the next sheriff is going to have to give some thought to, I use them, I have reasons, mm-hmm. but the next sheriff should do that before they build a real-time crime center. Because if you think about it, if we'd built that, it might be outlawed.
Right. Yeah,
so, you know, timing a lot of situations is preeminent of these. But those are things I think the next sheriff is. If I were staying, I would be concerned.
So in the last minute, what's next for Kim Stewart?
Oh, well, I'm not running for any office, yeah. even though I was
congratulations
tempted.
On
I was
that.
tempted to go for governor, but I decided to hold back. I'm a current fellow in the fellowship program at the University of Virginia for new innovation in policing. I did it to hopefully get a secure fellowship through them and maybe do some of that kind of consulting in the future. So I'm looking at kind of a more of the background, more of how do we do better? Yeah. And I'm kind of exploring those options.
Well, as always, we appreciate the discussion with you this
Thank
morning.
Thank you.
And,
it's been a pleasure.
Throughout your tenure as
yes.
senator. As
See.
Yeah, I've already got you running for the legislature.
Please.
You don't want to be a senator.
Please, no, please. gossip is wild
yeah,
enough.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, we are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll be talking with Carlos Aceves. We'll be back in just a minute.